Irish politics, right? It's a cesspool. It's an absolute, you know, a ground on which all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And I have just stumbled into the most amazing story. I have met a woman who's dressed in turquoise. What is the correct color?
Royal blue.
Royal blue. Okay, it's royal blue. You see, turquoise. Oh, God. Okay, guys. I'm a complete failure when it comes to color. But this woman has actually shifted from Fianna Fáil, you know, the party that was the government in Ireland for a very long time, and that it ended up screwing the country, says he, right? I'll nail my colours to the mast, right? Who is absolutely negligent shower, right? Right, I'm not looking for work with Fianna Fáil, right? But she's jumped ship out of that party into their civil war opponents, right? Get this, folks. The civil war. She's jumped from Fianna Fáil to Fine Gael, right? There are people who would have been excommunicated. Deirdre, introduce yourself and say why you did it.
Okay. Well, first of all, my name is Councillor Deirdre Ford, and apart from the fact that I'm colourblind and colours do not rule me, I keep looking for perfection in politics, and I jumped from Fine Gael, or rather I moved from Fianna Fáil to Fine Gael, and now I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure.
I love it. And you were introduced to me by Councillor Noel Costello, right? With a smile on his face, but he's your... Oh, of course, you're in government together. He's Labour, you're Fine Gael.
You see, at our level, we do not focus on the political philosophy, rather on the people.
She's a politician, guys. We want to hear more of this. Come on, let's give you... Come on, you're going up for election, I can tell. Come on, you're much too human. Come on. Say more. Why did you leave Fianna Fáil for Fine Gael? A dead serious question.
Who's asking and why are you recording me?
Well, I'm Paul O'Mahony. I'm from a company called Change Agents. The reason I'm recording you is that I am very, very interested in the people who are not able to overhear this conversation, right? We're going to hear it, right? There are two other guys listening in, right? Why should we be selfish and keep our conversation to ourselves? The wider world out there is entitled to overhear. They're curious, they're interested. And I love the people outside the room. And I think you're going to tell me something very interesting. And I don't want to be selfish and just hear it privately for myself. Would you want another reason?
Well, if you want to give it.
Well, I just think you're lovely. And it would be absolutely lovely for you to link with people outside. Because it is a truly interesting story. It's a personal one, you know. And it's safe. And you can only say as much or as little as you want. I would hope you'll tell the truth.
But
basically, look, this is on Audioboo, which is a podcasting platform, right? Oh. When we're finished, I'll take the photograph. I'm going to get Noel Costello in the photograph as well. I'm a big 50-50 supporter, men and women. Okay. You know, let's get equal representation in lawmaking in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
I entirely feel that. Okay. But the point about this is that I can take your photograph.
Yeah.
I can then press the button and it will go out on Facebook and on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter and Facebook myself.
Right, so...
And just after tweeting and things, and I tweet, I met you.
Right, you can tweet, you met me, and you can have this link to put on your Facebook page.
Very good.
So you can give the content of our conversation to your connections.
Yeah.
Now, will you please tell me, why did you leave one party and join another?
Well, I suppose you could get the little answer and you could get the truth. The political answer is, I was very unhappy with the direction that Fianna Fáil had been going in the country. I felt the little people were being told untruths. I felt things weren't transparent enough. And you cannot belong to a team if you don't want to sing the hymn. And I felt torn apart because I did not want to sing the hymn. And I felt the only right thing to do was to look for other options. In the meantime, Fine Gael asked me to join them.
Did they?
They did.
And do they actually ask people to join them? That's the bit that I didn't realise.
They definitely asked me.
Right. Were you tapped on the shoulder in the traditional way?
You know, it's like a vocation. I got the call from an eye. No, they asked me to join them, and I considered their policies at the time. And I felt, yes, I could continue to serve the people, because really I believe that it's about serving the people. And it really, really annoys me when decisions are made which seem to cut out a whole swathe of people and the reality that they live with. And if that includes me speaking over very difficult issues in a very difficult way to my own party, I will continue to do that because I think there's tremendous hardship out there. on the other side of the coin this morning will show you that there's tremendous good in the area.
Were you in the room with Gavin Duffy?
I certainly was, and I reminded him that I was once at a party in his house.
You what?
I was once at a party in Gavin's house. It was for charity, and he kindly opened the doors of his home, himself and his good lady wife. And
do you remember the charity? Do you remember the charity?
Well, it was some charity up in Meath. I can't recall the exact name, so if I give you a name, I might be saying the wrong
thing.
But anyway, it was a friend of mine who has a business in Derleek invited me. She knew Gavin, and that's how I ended up there.
Right.
And I was very grateful for the hospitality of the Meath people. But getting back to politics, genuinely, I do believe that good example must come from the very top. Transparency, good decisions, real leadership. That is a real challenge currently, I believe.
And when did you leave? At what point did you leave?
I left before the 2009 election, local election.
In November 2009?
I actually left in February 2009. And I then went for election under the Fine Gael barrier in June 2009. And I increased my vote by 1,000. For which I'm grateful to all the people in the
And I'll bet you there were plenty of people who voted for you before when you were Fianna Fáil who decided to follow you on a personal basis because they backed you.
They did, actually. And I'm pleased that they followed me on whatever basis. I like to think that they followed me because I think all the time from the bottom up. And I like to think the people, I deal fairly with them, I deal straight with them. And I think whoever is in government, if they lose that focus of dealing honestly and transparency and keeping the focus on the vast majority of the people who struggle day in, day out, the home helps, the carers, the struggling business people trying to keep their business go against the odds, if we lose that focus, the vast majority of Irish people are in that bracket, I think we will not have successful government. I'm grateful that John O'Connor in there of Corkbeek has said that this is one of the best countries to start a business and that the level of supports there are very good, which is some comfort. Not a great comfort to a lot of people who are in trouble with trying to get money out of the banks currently, but it's some comfort and we need to do more. We need to do far
You've
more.
Done something great already. Now, you said to me in a throwaway phrase, I'm the only one.
Yes.
What are you the only one to do?
I'm the only, as far as I'm aware, I'm the only Fianna Fáil person or Fianna Fáil councillor to ever leave Fianna Fáil and join with its historical opposition, I would say.
I mean, that was what attracted me to talking to you. Well, of course it is, because I mean, I know enough about Irish history to know that for somebody to leave. The other way would be just as radical. To leave Fine Gael and join Fianna Fáil, right? It is not, and the more, in my opinion, because I lived in the UK for 30 years, right?
Yes,
people have crossed the floor of the House in the House of Commons.
Yes.
They have gone from, I mean, Churchill went through, I don't know how many changes. He went from the Liberal Party to the Tory, to the Conservative Party. Churchill crossed the floor of the House, right? There are others. It is not an unknown thing in the UK to move from Labour to the Liberals, to the Tories, and even back again, right? But in Ireland, it is rare.
Oh, very, very rare. And can I just say this to you? Everybody has their value. You cannot compromise on your value. So if your values are compromised, you cannot be involved in that organisation. It's time for you to move and look for a new territory. And that's what happened to me.
I just want to introduce, this is my business partner. Hi. This is Jonathan Arm, right?
How are you doing?
Hi, lovely to meet you.
You too.
South African, from Joburg,
Joburg.
Gangster's paradise.
The most dangerous city in the world.
Absolutely. New York
no,
of Africa.
I'm joking. I don't know enough about it, so I'll rely on you to tell me how wonderful Joburg is.
I want to teach him a bit of Irish history. You are talking to something amazing, right?
Wow.
A person who's done something amazing. She left Fianna Fáil and joined Fine Gael, right? She was elected for one party and left that party and joined another party, joined not just any other party, joined Fine Gael. It would have been easier for her to join Labour, right?
It would have been easier for me to get into heaven.
So this is this is as big as somebody leaving the ANC, joining the National Party in South Africa.
Yes, it would be, actually.
He used to be in the ANC, by the way.
Oh, right. Very good.
Well, I was a student.
Yeah, you were one of the few.
I was in the late 80s. lots of excitement on campus.
Yes.
Those of Winnie Mandela coming to Wits campus, and very exciting.
And do you feel now that, you know, South Africa has blossomed, or has it stagnated a little bit now in the last couple of years?
I think it's stagnated, but I think that there's so much social inequality that's unhealed, and there's such a disparity between the rich and the poor. I think it's got the greatest gap globally now between any country. So,
well, to be honest with you, I think that's a recipe for failure, because I was on holidays once in Barbados. We were all aware of the sandy lanes in Barbados, and one day I decided that I wanted to experience how the little people live, if I may call them that. I include myself in that, and I decided to use public transport, and that was a real eye-opener, because only the native Barbadians, if I could say that, used the public transport. I was the only white person, if you like, on the bus, and I actually found it quite intimidating, because nobody made eye contact with me, nobody looked at me, and I got a taste, only a very minuscule taste, of what that lady in America experienced when she got on the bus first time. And of course it was in a completely different context. She was far, far braver than I would ever be. And I thought, the bus went down through shacks, shanty towns and everything. And these people were carrying out their daily work and going back to this level. And I actually said to myself, I can't cope with the fact that up the road, there's Sandy Lane, and there's people who are multi-millionaires, and then these people are living in squalor. And I felt very bad about the level of inequality. And whatever country you talk about, that's what we, if we're in positions of influence and policy making, we have to strive to close that gap.
Are you going to go up in the general election? Would that be your hope?
Love to go, but I'm afraid, you know as well as I do, that politics is a funny game, and you know, I certainly believe I have the ability.
Well, we need more women candidates in the next Irish general election, right? We've now had Phil Hogan bring in the bill for the gender quotas, right?
Yes.
So there will be a financial incentive to the political parties to have 30% of their candidates women on the ballot paper. That is a tiny step in the right direction. Sorry, I'm on a pulpit.
Well, you're right to be on a pulpit, right? And I agree totally with you, but I must tell you an aside that in a conversation with Phil once upon a time, I mentioned...
With Phil Hogan.
Phil Hogan, yes.
And this is the minister in the cabinet.
He told me I was too old.
He told you were too old, right? He is an astute political warrior, right?
Of course I didn't agree with him.
Well, that's right, you see. But the thing is, if you could be deflected by a remark from Phil Hogan, you'd be no bloody good, right? Right? That's the point. So Phil Hogan does you a favour by saying to you, you're too old, right? Because Phil Hogan's saying, if she's got any guts, and if she's got any mileage, and if we should back her for the party ticket, she's going to reject my view, right?
So you're saying it's like Johnny Cash and a boy named Sue. It was said to make me tougher.
Absolutely, absolutely. Phil Hogan is like that, you know? He is absolutely the quintessential political operator. I know he got in trouble with the old, what do you call that smelly stuff in the outside people's houses? Recycling your waste.
Yes. More than that, but I think...
But on the other hand, look, he brought in the gender quotas bill, right?
Yes,
it's actually in now, right? That's only a tiny step in the right direction. I want you on that ticket.
I'm ready, willing, and able, unfortunately.
Right. The fact that you have the same name as Deirdre Clune will not prevent you getting elected, right? We can have two Deirdres on the same ticket, right? It's about time we had a constituency with an all-female ticket.
I'm not politically correct, you see. So
I don't care about that. Do you think I can? We're from Change Agents, right? The name of our business is Change Agents, right?
Really?
We're here
I must find out more about Change Agents.
Well, do because you're one. You are one, right?
Well,
you're a walking change agent, you see.
I embrace change
your track,
all the time.
Exactly, your track record is you've already, it isn't in your head. This is not an idea about change. Your track record is, if I was to write your LinkedIn profile, it would include, you know.
You can join me on LinkedIn
the most courageous. Well, we will. Have you got a card? We'll do the most. She took the most change making. I mean, you're a symbol of the kind of courage that people need to leave old habits. leave old ways, right?
Yeah.
Stick true to their values, which are behind the habits, right? Values
Absolutely.
Are beneath habits,
Everybody
right?
Has those.
Right?
Yeah.
Stick. Don't compromise your values,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He's an old ANC member. He's left the ANC now,
nice
but he's bringing change to Ireland. And why did you introduce me to
Sorry.
This woman? I'm going to fall in love with this woman.
Very
and I have never voted Fine Gael in my life, right?
You won't be voting.
I won't be voting.
Paul.
I feel a Labour love fest coming in.
Look, I come from the extreme radical left in politics in my history. I used to be a communist.
Really?
A communist.
Really?
Yeah. British and Irish communist organization.
The nuns warned me about you.
I'll tell you something about me, right? My most dramatic political action in Ireland was that I chained, with a number of other people, I chained myself to the railings inside the Department of Foreign Affairs in 1973.
Yeah.
And we got on the 1 o'clock news. We chained ourselves. We had to be cut loose, right? Do you know what we were calling for? Repeal of Article 2 and 3 of the Constitution, right? Ending of the claim, which we entirely opposed, of the right to rule Northern Ireland by the South, which justified the armed struggle, justified all sorts of other things. We were in favour of giving people the right to willingly do what they wanted and not to force anyone into a united Ireland, right? We actually were in favour of the repeal of Articles 2 and 3. Which party brought in the repeal of Articles 2 and 3? Gard Fitzgerald?
No idea.
Fine Gael?
It definitely wasn't Fianna Fáil anyway.
Yeah, but right. Well, we'll claim it. We'll claim it. Nobody else can remember, actually. It's so much part of our culture now that we no longer have a claim in the Constitution, thank goodness, right? People can pursue United Ireland if they're in favour of it, or they can remain in favour of the border if they want to. But it'll all be done peacefully. Are you a Republican?
I like to think I am a Republican. I'm Irish, aren't I? I was born in Ireland. I like to think I'm a patriot of note.
Right.
Because the word patriot has been flung about by a lot of people and misused it.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't the prerogative of some members of a particular party or a particular entity.
You're talking about Sinn Féin now, aren't you?
I could be.
It's not a prerogative of Sinn Féin. We'll cut right to the chase.
Yeah, exactly.
The Patriot Game.
I
we know the song.
Yes, I think a patriot are every man and woman who struggle to keep their businesses afloat and raise their children in a manner that helps the country.
Is Gavin Duffy a patriot in your book? You
yes,
heard
I
him speaking there.
I think he's a patriot if your criteria is...
Your criteria.
...successfully... making money and employing people and spending his
and
money
standing
in
up,
Ireland.
Standing up for his country.
Well, you
he
know...
He was standing up for his country, wasn't he? I mean, he did a bloody good job.
He did.
We think... Did you hear him?
I didn't. But
well,
no.
Good. I taped all of it on audio boot. I've got about 30 minutes of Gavin Duffy.
Yeah. Do you know what I liked about him, actually? It's like he's talking to you in his front room with a glass of wine in his hand. And he's...
Connects.
You actually... do listen to him. And I also like the fact that he invested his money, hard earned, in new businesses.
And I think
a lot of people can't claim that.
In his talk, he was willing to criticise his employer severely.
Yeah.
Like he's employed by RTE and Ireland's Den, which I'm sure is a considerable contract, and yet he was willing
to.
He was willing. Publicly.
Well, that means that he valued his own integrity more than he did his job, which is actually, that's what you need. But look what John Humphreys did in the UK this week, right? Mm. He actually interviewed the Director General of the BBC. And that was the straw that led to the Director General of the BBC resigning. Yeah. Right?
Was it John Humphreys?
John Humphreys did the interview, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
John Humphreys did the interview. And John Humphreys drew out in the interview that the Director General of the BBC had been asleep on the job. Never mind the argument about Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
But he basically hadn't tracked what had been said about McAlpine, the Tory party, the mistake that was made about identifying him with being a paedophile.
Yeah.
Right? But the Director General of the BBC hadn't actually seen the programme himself, right? And that was the end of him. But John Humphreys is the, we need John Humphreys.
He's an intellectual.
Well, he's also the broadcaster of greatest integrity.
He has an integrity.
The most powerful reputation as a BBC. Mm. He's stronger than the BBC.
Which you see, that's what all countries need. People that have a view and who will have a good value and will see it as it is and not be afraid of the consequences. unfortunately, the consequences sometimes are very hard for people to take. I think the greatest patriots in Ireland at the moment are the whistleblowers, the people that blow the whistle on wrongdoing, and who will risk not being promoted ever again.